This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Where does creativity fit into compliance? In more places than you think. Problem solving, accountability, communication, and connection. They all take creativity. Join your hosts, Tom Fox and Ronnie Feldman, on Creativity and Compliance, part of the Compliance Podcast Network.
First, a word from this month's sponsor, Ethoco.
In a world where compliance often hinges on anonymous reports, Ethoco stands apart with the lowest industry anonymous rate. We believe in building connections, understanding each report's context, and in creating an environment where every voice is valued. Our approach is not just about collecting data. It's about fostering a culture where transparency and trust lead to more effective compliance. See the difference at ethoco.com/CPN. Book a demo and use our free ROI calculator to transform how you handle anonymous reports. You can also download our white paper by Tom Fox, The ROI of Compliance. It's time to turn anonymity into a strength and not a barrier in your compliance efforts. Join us in shaping a future where every concern is addressed with the care and attention it deserves.
Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox, back again with Ronnie Feldman for another episode of Creativity and Compliance. Welcome back, Ronnie.
Hey, good to be here. Good to see you, Tom.
Ronnie, engaging and involving leadership. Why is that so important for not simply a compliance professional, a compliance department, but really to drive your entire compliance regime forward?
Yeah, this is, it seems obvious maybe to all of us that getting your leadership on board is critical. It is, strangely enough, often one of the things that comes up at the end of a conversation when I talk to compliance, where I go, tell me about your training and communications plan. Tell me about your program. And it doesn't come up that often. It comes up when I prompt. I'll say, what are you doing for training? Tell me about that. People talk about risk assessments. They talk about engagement surveys. They talk about sometimes communications. And I go, well, what are you doing for your leaders? Oh, yeah. We're really trying to put together. Sometimes they're doing something and sometimes they're not. I feel like it's the first thing we should be doing. It's the most important thing. There's a few compliance professionals and then there's tons of leaders. And we know that they can both make the program shine or tank it. If they're giving lip service or rolling their eyes, are going, blah, 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 whatever. This is what legal's make wants me to do this. You're sunk, right? Because they're influencing everybody there on the front lines. So I want to talk about first the importance, first and foremost, of engaging leaders about their additional responsibilities, getting them on board. This, by the way, is another reason entertainment is important, because if you want to get them on board, you have to be entertaining and impactful. So one thought is, in many ways, you've heard us talk about regular communication and awareness and commercials and things like that. This applies to leadership as well. So the more that we can engage leaders about their initial responsibilities on a regular basis in short, quick, snackable ways is important. So if there's existing leadership program, high potential programs, or if a new leaders are advancing to a new role or a new level of leadership and there's some training, let's make sure we're in there, right? Little commercials about their additional responsibilities and how they have to have not just to talk about speaking up and making sure they know that the resources are available and make sure they know about the code, make sure that they know that it's about winning the right way, not just about winning. Getting those messages into those training channels for them is pretty important. And obviously part of leadership onboarding, if there's any manager training that's going on in general, you could create a new training specifically on ethical leadership. I think that's valuable. If you're going to spend your training dollars, this is where you should be spending them. It's more important than spending it on the general population. So training for leaders and embedding within the flow of how leaders are currently conducting their business, I think is first and foremost. Before I talk about the next part of this rant, what do you think?
I'm really intrigued with the next part of your rant, so go ahead and hit it.
Yeah, okay. So we got to get leaders involved, right? That's the point of the first part of this discussion. Get them involved, spend your training dollars there, and make sure it's as fun and interesting as possible because it'll be more impactful. Involving leaders in carrying the message forward is really the next phase of a really effective program. In other words, we want ethics compliance to be not an other. We want it to be part of our culture. We want it to be ingrained in integrity, ingrained in everyone that works there. And the best way to do that is to make sure that there are lots of people talking about the importance of doing business the right way. So for a compliance professional, I think there's some interesting ways to do that. You certainly could give short, interesting content to leaders and say you play it as part of your regular Zoom meeting. Your department meeting is live or online. When you figure out the cadence, is it once a quarter? Is it once a month? You give them some short piece of content about speaking up, the importance of ethics, the code of conduct, whatever the policy is. If you want to do certain risk-based training each quarter, there's one on gifts around holiday time. There's one on conflicts of interest. There's on privacy. But you give the content to leaders and you say, play this. They'll do it if it doesn't take a lot of their time and it has some entertainment value because it'll make them look good. If you give them something that's a little boring and preachy, they may do it because they have to, but they'll roll their eyes. Some companies do make them certify that they did it if you're looking for a measurement. Others make that voluntary. Either way, as you've told me before, Tom, it all counts. Informal communication counts. All the informal training and communication counts. So if you get in trouble, you can talk about these things. The more that you can package that up. So one idea is a commercial. It's simply a video or a slide. But if you can package that up into a manager toolkit, so that would be short, fun video surrounded by other content that basically could be a scenario that you want them to talk about and discuss. Could be a quiz. The more that you package that up with, we want you to play this. This is why we want you to play this. This is how you do it. And these are the learning points. That's also good. So that's a lunch and learn. That's a 15-minute conversation. The more you make it simple and easy for them to carry that forward, that's helpful. And again, the entertainment value is helpful because, again, you'll get them to do it. Let me pause there. There's another really big idea that I want to share, but I don't want this to be a monologue. What are your thoughts about those two ideas?
I guess, Ronnie, the, I don't want to say counterpoint I wanted to pose, but maybe the additional point is everything I've read and heard says the more you can put your leaders out, even if it's in a talking head or Zoom or other format, the more you personalize those leaders to your employee base. And if you're a multinational or a multi-thousand employee company, you may never have met the CEO.
Right.
You may not know who you may know what he looks like, maybe, and the entire executive leadership team or ELT. So that by doing this, you may actually, I don't want to say inadvertently improve your culture, but improve your culture through an unintended consequence of making your leaders more personable, particularly if they can talk about perhaps a misstep they made or a decision they had to make that they turned down business to do the right thing, or something that could personalize them in a way that people rank and file could relate to. So that, and I guess I wanted to get your thoughts on, I'm not sure unintended consequences is the right phrase, but are there other benefits that having your leader communicate to the employee base about an issue that they had to face and they had to make a decision on could actually improve corporate culture?
Yeah, love it. Love it. Love it so much, Tom. The devil's in the details about how you do this. So yes, the whole point is to try and get this to happen. It's sometimes difficult because, as we all know, there's some leaders, particularly the ones who you have to convince about this, right? The ones who are looking at the numbers, the ones who are sometimes the most ambitious ones, folks that you have that are most quote unquote successful in terms of financial value, are also the ones that sometimes are risky because they're not talking about these things and they're not giving time to these things. I love the idea of involving leaders because the more that you get them to participate, there's that sort of, they'll become champions of it. If you get them involved, they'll want it to be successful. But I think we do need to help them a little bit because I think we've all watched the talking head video with the violin playing in the background. It's real emotional. And we're a company full of integrity. It's the most important thing that we've ever done. And if it feels inauthentic or preachy in any way, they will sniff that out. So I think it's important to come up with creative ways to make sure that they are, that they show well in a way that people will watch and believe. Some of the ways that we do that is, it depends on the production value you want to put in. I love the idea here. I'll reference another company that we're not currently working with, but I love the idea. U.S. Bank, a couple of years back, was doing a series where they would interview leaders in the back of a car. It was the ethics officer interviewing a leader in the back of a car, and they called it the ethics rideshare. So it was just enough of a bit, like Comedians in Cars with Coffee, or what's the other one? Carpool Karaoke, where they had filmed interviews with leaders with some creative wrapping around it. Doesn't mean that the show was fun, but it was an avenue of which, and the leaders were entered, put into this regular series, and they could have that nice discussion. What we tend to do is Zoom style talk shows. So we create a fake talk show, usually built around the brand in some way. And we'll add a comedic host. Because if you think about what a talk show is in the first place, if you think of all the late night shows, Colbert, Seth Meyers, I guess Jon Stewart's back now, Kimmel, the daytime shows, Ellen, Oprah, what they are is usually an entertainer who's teeing up their guests to look good and adding little bits and questions and teeing them up. So we do the same thing. It doesn't cost a lot of money. You just have to create that creative wrapper. And then you bring in guests periodically. You find out what they want to talk about. You ask them those questions. You maybe, what we do is we might voice what the naysayer might say, or the skeptic, and then let them have the ability to address it. And you add just enough bits or jokes so that they can laugh and let their personality come out. We find that to be a pretty successful way to do that. We even did one for Roche Diagnostics a couple years back where it wasn't involving the ethics team at all. It was involving leaders telling stories of integrity. Like, tell me a story when your integrity was tested. And they're a diagnostics company, so the name of the show was Under the Microscope with Dr. Diagnosis. Was the way we created the fun name of the show. But really, it was a pretty serious subject. We just did one. I'm going to try and get him on as a guest with our friends at Dexcom, which is an insulin device. And the name of that show is Ethically Speaking with Your Host, Sugar Levels. So we cast an actress named Sugar, and Sugar interviews their ethics officer, their ethics team, their chief commercial officer, and we roll out one a quarter. So not that you need to use us for that, or you even use to do those things, but the idea of a creative wrapper that allows leaders to shine, I think is really great to do all the things that you said, Tom, at the beginning of this question. Get them engaged, involved, talking about the issues, talking about the importance of it, and to show that they're human. What do you think?
I think that's a great place for us to end this episode, Ronnie. So with that, you want to tell our audience goodbye?
Yay, involve your leaders. Goodbye, everybody.
This is Tom Fox again. Have you ever wondered about the ROI of your compliance? Have you found trouble convincing a CFO to give you budgeting? Well, this month I paired with Ethico to write a white paper on the ROI of compliance, and Ethico has created an ROI calculator which will show that to you. Use the link in the show notes to check out the white paper and the ROI calculator from Ethico.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Creativity and Compliance. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure to subscribe and leave a review.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.